Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's tips for parents of teens. And today I am so excited. As you can see, those of us who are watching us on video, you can see we've got our beautiful guest. And our beautiful guest, Florence, is going to be introducing herself, but just in a brief, you know, just briefly. I just love Florence, right? And what Florence is going to be showing us is how we can help our teenagers to be more productive, tap into their strengths, maximize their unique talents, and actually be able to live authentic and fulfilling lives. I think that innately, all of us as parents, that's what we want for our young people, right? My name is Angela Karanja, and I am an adolescent psychologist and a parenting teenagers expert here at Raising Remarkable Teenagers. But today, it's not about me. I want to introduce you to this lovely Christ follower and a veteran homeschool mom. Florence, welcome. Yes. And tell us a little bit about yourself and blow us away. I know I'm just expectant, you know?
Oh, thank you. I love your energy. That is awesome. Well, for everybody, my name is Florence Geshohe. I'm a mother of three girls. And like Angela said, she said that I'm a homeschool mom. This is my 18th year. It's starting to look there's a light at the end of the tunnel. It's not a train. So I'm towards the end tail of homeschooling. I have three girls. What I do is that I'm a productivity coach for teenagers. And what I believe is that every teenager has their potential to be productive and to be their full and to be themselves who God created them to be, mm-hmm. and not to be a copycat of anybody else. So that's what I firmly believe, that they have the potential to be productive and to be what God created them to be.
Wow, listen to that, guys. I did say to you that we are in for a treat. Now, one of the first questions we like to ask our guests here, Florence, at Raising Remarkable Teenagers, is, and I know you also watch these sessions a lot, yes. is your view on being intentional. You know, what does being intentional mean to you? And obviously, I know what there's so many variations of this, but we never tire of hearing just another version, because what we want is that this message is told in so many different ways that mm-hmm. it's able to drop in each one of our hearts, because we all are a village that our kids need for us to raise them to be as productive as you're talking about. So what's your intention? I mean, when I talk about intentional parenting, or when you talk about intentional parenting, what does that mean to you? And how can you bless us?
Yeah, first, what I like to say is that intention begets intention. If you want your teenager to live an intentional life where they're not living in mediocrity, you personally have to be intentional. As a parent, know, study your child, know who they are, be intentional into learning what they like, what their giftedness is, and then you start parenting from there. Because if you look at most of us, Angela, if I gave you a piece of paper and a pencil and I told you to draw me a picture of your child, what you will do, you will draw what you think your child is. Mm-hmm. But then if I gave you an eraser and asked you, is there anything you would like to correct about your drawing? What you'll start doing is erasing the parts that you think they should be more curved, if it's the head, if, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. And as a parent, you know, sometimes that's what we do mostly. We focus on what we need to correct from a child, mm-hmm. instead of focusing on their strengths to help them overcome their weakness. So being an intentional parent is knowing what your child's strengths are and honing on those ones to help them overcome their weaknesses.
Wow.
Does that answer your question?
Wow, that is so profound. You know, it's so profound, because what I heard you say is that we are able, or make an excited effort, to notice what they are good at, and yes. then hone that and like sharpen that. How, you know, that is so good. That is so, so good, you know? And I don't know when you began, do you have a demarcation? I mean, it doesn't have to be. Do you have a time when you decided this, from this time on, I'm going to be intentional? It doesn't have to be, because we are all different. Some people have that black and white, oh my God, this is me. I have stories like those, but then I have also stories like, for example, I can't really tell, when did I begin to believe in Christ? I can't really, I don't have a, you know, it's so long and it's so, there was time I actually didn't, there's times I didn't, but, you know, there's no, some people can tell you on this day, this happened. Mm-hmm. Do you have such a sort of demarcation, or when did you actually decide, today I begin to be intentional? Do you have something like that or not?
I have several. It's not just one thing. I'll give you an example. One time we went to the store with my children, and the t-shirt that my daughter picked said, "What did I do now?" It was a monkey that said, "What did I do now?" Mm-hmm. And I started thinking, why did she choose that t-shirt? What was she drawn to that? Mm-hmm. After a lot of discussion, it made me aware that that's what she feels, that she's always doing something wrong.
Wow.
Right? And that just came from a conversation from a t-shirt saying, "What did I do now?"
Mm.
And also from my background of homeschooling, I have been intentional in figuring out what they are good at. That way we don't have to go through some subjects or some lessons that they do not need. So to answer your question, I don't have a true, like a line when I said that I want to be intentional. It has been a journey, our homeschooling journey, that t-shirt, deep conversations with them, and, you know, learning from people that have been ahead of me in this journey, especially homeschooling. Yeah, so, and personal growth, that was like a big thing.
Oh, brilliant. And also what I'm hearing you say is, this is not a one, it's not a certificate you get and put it, now I have it. It's a daily, you know, it's sort of, it's like breathing. You know, you have to be constantly, you cannot say, oh, I got it now. I've got my certificate on the wall, so I'm good, right? So it's not something like that, and I like that, because what it's showing us and how I felt is something that we talk a lot here, is everyone can begin today. You can't think, oh, that train has left me. You know, everyone can begin today. So I'm really excited about how you answered that. I want. Yeah. Probe a little bit about that what did I do today, right? I know it's not, it just excited me, because what I'm hearing is the conversations that you are able to have with your young person. So how did you start this conversation so that they were able to actually come, you know, feel comfortable telling you, pouring out? Because that, I think, to be honest, that's what every parent wants, because especially with our young people really holding on things and not telling, that is something that is so welcomed by so many of us, you know?
Yeah, it all started by what I would tell a parent to be is always be curious.
Mm.
Look at your child from a point of curiosity. Remember, like when you were growing up, if you know, like when you are trying to make a doll from a corn cob, that's curiosity. And everybody has that. So when a child comes to you, like for instance, in the t-shirt, I was curious, you know, so tell me, why did you choose that t-shirt instead of this other one? Right? They might answer then, or they might just say, I don't know. But that, I don't know, does not mean that you don't continue the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you can let the child breathe, but I assure you later that conversation will come up, because it's something that maybe it's bugging them. It's how they feel. And you know what? Feelings tell us what is inside of us. And it will always, so a parent should always be curious. Stay ahead of your child, right? Mm-hmm. Learn your child. Study like you're studying for your mock exam or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's It's easy when you have that curiosity mentality as opposed to having like you are the authority over them. Mm. They can give you something too.
Wow. I love what you said, because again, it's something that we use a lot here about be curious, not furious, you know? Because I can imagine
some other parents
have been angry, you know, like, why are you picking that and not this other one? What makes you think you're this and not, you know? And unfortunately, sometimes when we jump on them like that, they close up.
Yes.
And once they close up, that's the end of the conversation. So the flow of information, the flow of their life, the flow of them wanting to share with you anything, it's just cut out. And I don't think that's what we want. So, Florence, and other things that we talk a lot about here is beliefs, right? Mm-hmm. And you and I know that the beliefs that we hold, the beliefs that we have within ourselves, can really hold us back. Can you share with us, I'm especially interested because you're a veteran homeschool mom. And one of the things, because I met you about 2 years ago or something? Mm-hmm. And that was about when the pandemic happened, right?
Yes.
And while all of us were fumbling, wondering what to do with our kids, right? You are in the flow, you know, and you're looking at us like what's wrong with you guys, you know? Yeah. So as a veteran homeschool mom, right? I want you to enlighten us about some of the beliefs, because the reason I don't take my kid, I don't educate her at home, I must have deeply held beliefs about what this homeschool is. So if you can help us understand some sort of beliefs that hold us back, or maybe beliefs that we can release so that we can be better, you know, like we can be better even teachers to our young people. Mm-hmm. What can you share with us?
Now, I'm going to talk to you from a homeschooling perspective.
Yes.
A lot of people think when they hear that you homeschool, they're like, how can you must have a lot of patience. And what I always tell them is, if you potty trained your child, you've done the hardest thing you can ever do in the world. Mm. Because here you are telling somebody how to control their body, their body functions. But as a mom, you have it in you to teach your child whatever you want them to learn. And that is one of the beliefs that, you know, I can't do it. I don't have enough patience. And another belief that we always have is that our children need to be, our children are broken. They are broken vessels that need to be fixed.
Mm.
That is a big one. So, and we always, another thing is that, especially in our culture, a child cannot tell you anything or teach you anything.
Mm.
And that is a belief that, you know, hold a lot of us back, a lot of people back, instead of seeing a child as an already whole person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you talked about that a lot in your program, about seeing a child for who they are. And another belief that we, you know, that we that held us back. I lost my trail of thought. What was I gonna say? Well, when a child comes to you to talk to you, you don't have to already have conceived ideas mm-hmm. of what you're going to answer. Let a child finish talking and then you come up with the idea. If you don't know the answer, it's not the end of the world. You can tell them what you are feeling at the moment, what you know at the moment. If you don't know the answer, let's figure out the answer together. Right? We have a lot of information online. We have resources that we can use. Let's learn together.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's another gift, you know, if anybody wants to homeschool, that is a gift you can give your child. Teach them to learn. That way, when they leave your house to go to college, they know how to learn and not to study for an exam.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So that's from a homeschool perspective.
Gosh, you know, that is so powerful, especially the one that you said last, teaching them to learn and not to study for exams, because a lot of us, and I know I put my hand up, sometimes I have been guilty. I have been guilty. It's about the exam. It's about passing this exam. And the good thing about being intentional is that we can catch ourselves when we are doing it wrong because we are aware, right? And, and that's why one of the things we really emphasize is let's get intentional. It's not about not making mistakes. It's not about blame. It's not about shame, you know? It's none of that. And that's why I put my hand up because sometimes my eyes are out that this. Then you've got to start, right? And I have to stop myself and say, come on, are you teaching this kid to learn or to pass these exams? Because like you said, Florence, what happens when they go to college? What happens when they go to uni? Forget even schooling. Like, what happens when they go into the world, into the workplace, right? Where they don't have to study an exam, where they have to learn. So I think that's, that is something you have really like blown the lid open for most of us, because we need to teach our kids to learn, not so that they can pass an exam. Because when we go to work, we don't do exams.
No.
We learn processes. We learn how to work with people. We learn how to do what we are doing better, right?
Yes.
And that's one of the things that I think is so powerful, as you said that. And also another thing I heard you say that, again, was so powerful, and I believe it takes humility from what you said, is this believing that our kids can't tell us anything. Especially, unfortunately, for most of us who are from the African background, the way we were brought up, you didn't question your parents.
Mm-mm.
You just did it. And I also know it's not just us. I also know a lot of my white colleagues, when they were growing up, it was exactly the same. So it's not a race thing. It's just that's the way things were. But then, how did we feel when we were there, but we were not there? You know, when I reflect, one of the things that makes me want to work on myself, and also so that I can be able to parent my child better, is to remember how not even small, I don't even know that feeling, you know, how insignificant I felt, even though I knew I was a significant person, but how insignificant I felt when you were not, you know, when your opinion was, you know, it was disregarded, when you were not to be seen, not to be heard, you know, when I think like that, I can't imagine passing that on to my daughter, you know, it frightens me. You know, it's right.
I got you, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I like what you said about, but it takes a lot of humility, isn't it? Don't you believe?
It does. And another thing is that, you know, and this is what I teach teenagers, that when we, like now, and I could see in your body how you got worked up, you know, when you remembered how you felt that time, it made you feel like you don't have any value, like you have no strength.
Mm-hmm.
Like my child picking up, I said, what did I do now? They grow up knowing fear, knowing that they, you know, their voice is muted, and also they don't know what their strengths are. Absolutely none, right? So I teach teenagers to realize and recognize their strengths, right? And then I show the parents that they can parent from the strength-based parenting instead of a deficit parenting. Because, for instance, I'll give you an example. If you know that your child is very, very meticulous, and when you're like going on a vacation, or we are going on a vacation to Wales tomorrow, she wants to know each and every detail. Mm. But you're ticked off because you don't know that that is her strength.
Mm.
So you collide. But the best thing you can do is, if you realize that that's her strength, delegate all the itinerary to her.
Oh, yeah.
And she will thrive in that because that is her strength. And everybody will go to Wales at peace. All you need to do is pay the ticket. She knows everything else that needs to be done. right? You operate on your strength, they operate on their strength, and you know how to communicate. And that is where most of us fail. We don't know our children's strengths, we don't know our strengths, that way we don't know, as a result, we don't know how to communicate.
Wow, and again, you, Florence, you're just blowing my mind away, because I'm thinking that then requires trust. Because yes. What you're saying is, when I need to understand her strength. And then when I understand her strength, to build on it, give her the responsibilities that she can do best. Mm-hmm. But then that requires trust from me as a mother, because if I'm the kind of mother who's like, you know, you want to be micromanaging, you know, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. one of the things I say, leadership, if you're the micromanager, you're no leader at all, right? Nope. And by the way, guys, when I speak like this, don't ever think that I've got it all.
Me neither.
I catch myself sometimes micromanaging, and thankfully, because of the way my relationship and my daughter is, she's able to stop me on my tracks and say, that's my job, remember? Now that you delegated that. And actually, I learned this from you, Florence. I don't know what conversation we were talking about, and you talked about this delegating depending on the kid's strength. And obviously, and that's why I said it takes a lot of trust, because you must be willing to trust this kid who mm-hmm. is way younger than you. But they do actually. And one of the things I say is our young people, our kids will rise to the level that we believe in them.
True.
They do rise to the level that we believe in them. So it's up to us to constantly believe. I mean, none of us is going to get it correct 100%. And why should we anyway? We're not robots. We are people. And that's one of the things that I like about how you talk about that delegating. It was a challenge for me, I must admit, because I had to identify my daughter is one of those ones who likes to, I'm more of a strategic person, right? I see the whole big picture mm-hmm. and the little details, just you know, like that's not for me. So I'm always being pulled back to, oh, there's this. For example, another thing I'm not usually very good at is we can go to a place and I just haven't got the mind mapping of knowing where we've been. I'm just not made like that. But she has almost like a photograph. She can tell us, even without navigation, mm-hmm. this is exactly where we went. And it's me, for example, me trusting her when she says, "Mom, we've been there before. I can tell you." And it was hard for me to, and actually, once he told me that, I began to just, because I've always known she was like, I'm the one that used, even when she was little, I'm the one that always used to get lost. I didn't know where I'd left the car and she would take me there, you know? So I know she's always had this. The only thing I didn't do is actually acknowledge, which didn't serve me very well. And actually, when I think about it, I feel almost regretful, although I don't want to say I want to regret, because again, you pick up from where you are. It's not about beating ourselves up for things that we haven't done. And when you mention that, actually, for the last 2 years, I just leave that to her. Like, she's the, you do the journey. You do the journeys, you do that. I completely trust you. And can I tell you, Florence, not one day have we missed a turn, right? Not one day have we missed a turn, even when we haven't got the navigation. Mm-hmm. And it's because I abandoned my trust and actually followed that thing of trust their strengths. And also, do you know, one of the things I noticed actually, and that's why I was saying that I was almost regretful, was when I gave her that, she takes it on. She, you know, you can see her rise, like she owns the space. This is my... Yes. You know, mm-hmm. and you can feel I don't know, you can feel her take the position of I don't want to call it control.
Authority. She has authority in her own, and she becomes productive.
Absolutely.
100%.
You have said it correctly. So you guys, I don't want to carry on about this, but it's something. So these are some of the things I say. When you guys, we have these conversations, listen to what you can take and use, because they might sound like just, you know, small tweaks here and there. But one of the things I like to tell my community is that small hinges can swing big doors, yeah. Right? Small, you know, one thing, you might change one thing and it changes the whole dynamics of your family. And mm-hmm. and that's why we never stop learning, because we are leaders. So Florence, I want you to talk to us about we as parents, in terms of the productivity of our young people, because one of the things that a lot of parents complain about, and I know I have complained about sometimes, I'm looking and thinking, what are you doing all day, right? How can we help or encourage, motivate our young people to actually be better at what they do? I mean, of course, we've talked about that noticing and then giving them responsibility. Have you got other ways, that other examples that you can give us? Because I believe, and I think, because you are also part of our lovely community, is we talk about giving tangible examples, you know, something that I can actually go and do today. And get transformation. Have you got certain examples that you, when you're working with young people, that you tell them, and also you communicate the same to the parents? Have you got other examples?
Yeah, I have an example. If, for instance, you're just sitting, your child comes home from school, and you know for sure they have homework to do, and they just sit at the couch, it's your job to make the child notice that they're procrastinating or they're avoiding. So when they have, and the word is, they're sabotaging their progress. Mm-hmm. So if you point to them that what they're sabotaging, after you have learned them, notice what their sabotaging habits are. Mm-hmm. They might forget. And coin a code, C-O-D. Like, for instance, we do a play role over here. Anjali, you're my daughter. I notice you come home and instead of doing your homework, and I know that one of the way that you sabotage your progress is to start washing dishes when it's not your point. It's not your day to wash dishes, right? Yeah. So because I have learned that, maybe we have said washing dishes or your procrastination, you will just call them, hey, Mr. P is showing up, and they will know what P stands for. Something easy that relates to them and it's fun for them. You can have them pick up a secret code of when you are being too much, or when they are being overwhelmed and they don't want everybody else to know that the overwhelm is coming from, maybe if it's a girl, maybe they are on their period or something like that. So little things like that, secret language with them, that's the word, is very, very powerful. And most of the time—
Just to clarify, Florence, what I'm hearing is, so you agree with them about this secret code so that you can call it when it happens?
Yes.
Great, okay.
And you know, they'll be more receptive to it because they are the one who have contributed to this language. Don't tell them that this is what we are gonna be doing. No, you have sat down, had a conversation, and the communication is flowing. Sometimes they resist, but that's okay. We are all human beings, but they'll be more receptive that way.
Wow. And actually, the point I had you say, which is, that's a very psychological point. What we know is, when young people are involved in crafting their own plans or crafting their own progress, they are more cooperative than when we impose it on them. And
yes.
And that, what you said, actually, Florence, you're teaching me here because, because like what you said about the things they do to sabotage themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and even us grown-ups, we do that, right? I know I do that. For example, there's bits. I don't like to do my accounts, to be honest. So what I do, and I don't like to clean the house either. So when I know I'm about to do accounts, that's when I decide I'm going to ask myself, where has this cleaning urge come from, you know? So, you know, you know, you're bringing so much to my awareness. So I'm thinking, I probably need to notice that with my own young person, because I've noticed a couple of things. Actually, the way she sabotages herself about, mm-hmm. about some things. And for her, that's cooking, right? She wants to go and cook. She won't volunteer to cook or anything, but when she has something, a very important project, that's the day she'll decide to lay the best recipe out. You know, the one that's going to take, you know, the
6 hours.
Yeah, that's it. The one that's the most flamboyant one. And you're like,
mm-hmm.
And you know, and actually, I know that. So actually, that's something we actually need to address, because she's actually going to sixth form soon. So it's something we will need. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Florence. You guys, that's one thing I'm gonna discuss with her. And yeah. Then we hopefully can find that, whatever, that code to remind her, actually, this is coming between you and your progress.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Gosh, yes. That is so powerful. You know, that is so, you guys, if you live here today with nothing else, please let's do this, because I think it's really going to help our young people, even ourselves.
Yes, because with communication too.
Mm-hmm. What you said is, you know, it just opened my eyes. I'm like, oh my God, I do that, right?
Yeah. We all do that. I have minds too.
Yeah. Oh my, I'm so, I'm feeling so blessed by this conversation. So as we keep chatting, Florence, I want to ask you, as a homeschooling mom, right? Mm-hmm. And I know whether we are homeschooling or taking our kids to school, and we all do some sort of homeschooling, because
yes.
We can't leave everything to our kids, even though we know they are teenagers. Even the most responsible ones, sometimes, like you said, they will need to be asked, have you finished this, you know? So how would you, because I know you've got a lot of experience, how do you actually help them to do the work that they particularly don't want to do?
Well, there's rewarding when they're younger.
Mm-hmm.
When they were little, if anybody has like little, very little kids, we used to have like a special toy box.
Mm-hmm.
That if you want to play with this special toy box, this is what you need to do. This is your timetable.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when they're older, it's important, you know, I don't always practice it, but it's important to have like a family schedule.
Mm-hmm.
That way everybody can hold each other accountable. But when it comes to motivation, you have to make the child understand why it's important to them. And sometimes they have to tell you why that it's not important. For mm-hmm. instance, if you keep telling your child to clean up their room, they don't know why is it so important that the room has to stay clean, right?
Yeah.
It's triggering you because you, when you were younger, you had to keep the room tip-top shape, or is it because you're seeing them because of your fears that they end up becoming hoarders? So you have to understand that. As far as motivating kids, you really have to first know them and know what motivates them. Because we all, like for me, what motivates me, like for instance, is like, I have a reward. What am I gonna get at the end of this? right? Mm-hmm. Everybody that has that. So they have to identify the end result, what they want.
Absolutely. And again, you brought in another very psychological concept that as human beings, we don't do things for nothing. No. None of us does anything for nothing. We do it because of rewards. And that, why? Why am I doing that? Mm-hmm. And most of us stop asking the why, but then our kids are still, especially these days, and especially when they're in teenage years, they're asking why? Why? Why do I have to do this? I mean, I don't know how many whys I've been asked today, and some of them I didn't even know how to answer. So,
and you only have one. I have three.
I only have one, and I'm telling you, sometimes I have to contend with, you know, even the room, even who, when you mention the room. You know, I was like, okay. The thing is, one of the things that I like to have conversations with my daughter. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that she knows is that she's free. She's a free being. She's free to do. In fact, yesterday or the other day, I posted something about freedom, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, you are, and there's something I tell her, that you're free. You're free to do whatever you want. In fact, you're even free to share responsibility, but you're never going to be free of the consequences of shirking responsibility.
Yes.
Right? And that includes even things like eating well. We don't haggle about eating well or not eating well. Mm-hmm. All I say is, this is your skin, this is your body. How you treat it, that's what it's going to give you back, you know? Mm-hmm. If you spend all your day eating chips and you know, bread and all that, why? Because you don't like the taste of nectarine. That's fine. But then when you bust out with stuff that you don't like, then you know you're just reaping what you have sown, you know?
Yeah.
And when you have those conversations, you don't have to keep telling your kid, eat the peas, eat the greens. Mm-hmm. Why? Because in their mind, they're thinking, is this helping me? Is this serving me? Is what I'm doing? So they're having those reflective moments on a continuous mm-hmm. basis. And I think those are the conversations, Florence, you're talking about us being able to communicate in again, what I call empowering communication, yes. Right? Like, yes. Like when you were asking your daughter about what made you pick this? What made you're getting in to understand them. You're getting to understand their fears, mm-hmm. their aspirations, their dreams. And I think us as parents, that's what we need to do. Instead of telling, mm-hmm. you know, and the more we tell, and this is my experience from working with so many young people and also so many parents, is when you tell, you don't give them the opportunity to develop their mind, their thinking, their reflective, their muscles. And so what happens when they go out there mm-hmm. and there's no mom telling them? What happens?
You know, and also, you know, we also have to remember that we cannot parent from like autopilot. Sometimes, you know, all this telling. Sometimes you might, if you have and I did this before when they were all in car seats, right? I could be in the kitchen trying to tell them something and what comes out of my mouth is put on your seatbelt. And we're in the kitchen because I'm always used to telling them what to do. It's funny.
I know it's so funny.
We're in the kitchen cooking, or we are doing school or something. Instead, because the word "put," what I'm used to telling them is "put on your seatbelt," but my mind is not. I'm not present with them. That's the word. I am not present with them.
Wow.
I'm still focused in what was happening. My mind has not caught up with the moment. And it's very important to be very present with your children, especially teenage girls. I had a conversation the other day with a teenage girl, and it goes to say that it is the importance of not projecting yourself to your children.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, being very, very present. Active listening is very, very important. And that the thing we had talked about, being curious, mm-hmm. also, like now, when you're talking to me, I can notice that you're reflecting back to make sure you understood what I said. Do that with your teenager. That way they'll feel seen and heard,
mm-hmm.
which is very important. Yeah.
I love what you said about feeling seen and heard, because one, a really deep need for all of our teenagers is actually to feel, you know, when they tell us, and some of them, they tell us things and parents might never hear. And that's the reason I started working with parents, because I was hearing things. And obviously, because of data protection, you can't go tell the parents.
Yes.
And I'm speaking mm-hmm. on parents, we need to hear what our kids are telling us. Otherwise, someone else is going to deceive them, that they understand them, they care for them. And before we know it, we've lost our kids, right? Yeah. And this is where humility comes in. Like what Florence, you said, our kids want to know that we hear them, we see them, we value them, you know, we understand them. And let's not focus on their rolling of their eyes, because those things will roll, right?
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes they'll slam those doors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in no way am I saying that's to be allowed and that's okay. I'm not saying that at all. But let's learn to focus on what works, on what's working, because the more we focus on what works, the less likely they're going to do what doesn't work. Because like Florence, you said, our kids want to be heard. They want to be seen. And here is the problem. I'll give you a piece of research, guys. Do you know, for the purpose of being heard and seen, the kids are happy to do even negative stuff. They don't care.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you know, when I heard that and I saw that, I was like, whoa, no wonder we have kids kicking off. No wonder, because I want to be of some importance. And now if you're not gonna listen to me as a person, I'm gonna show you, right? But why don't we as parents who are more aware, who are more, what I would say, who are more intentional, decide, mm-hmm. okay, because I understand your need, I'm going to steer it towards the good, the positive, so that I'm noticing your strengths, like you said, Florence, I'm noticing your strengths, mm-hmm. I'm noticing what you're doing well. And in doing that, we all know that the things that you focus on grow.
Yes.
That's a law of nature. What we focus on more, it grows. And so why don't we as parents learn to do that? It might be a mind shift, because we are used to, you know, we were only spoken to when we did something wrong. Yeah?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And that's what happens to school. And that's what happens, unfortunately, in the society. That's the thing. In fact, the other day we had a conversation with my daughter, and I reminded her of a time. I think she was in year 7 or something, and she went to high school, and we were laughing about it because she's completely come off that. She was beginning to take that role of being sick. Why? Because she noticed, this is the thing, she noticed that there was more attention for kids who were more sick,
mm-hmm.
and there was more attention to kids who had, in fact, one day, and I wondered, why is this happening? Why? And then there was a time she broke her metatarsals and all that, and she didn't want to come off crutches. Why?
Yeah.
Because everywhere she went, there was so much attention, there was so
yes.
much, and she was... And unfortunately, the society is like that.
Yeah.
We don't focus on the strengths. So some of our kids are going to do the negative, the less noble stuff to be noticed.
Yeah.
But you and I, Florence, all of us here as intentional parents, let's be aware and say, okay, we're going to change this game. We're going to change this game, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Let me add up something over there when you talked about a child being seen. I don't know if you had these statistics. It was, I think it was BBC or some, I don't know what it was, but somebody who was in trafficking, human trafficking, was asked, how do you target? Did you get the statistics?
Yes.
How do you target teenagers? Mm-hmm. They say, we only look for, all we need is a teenager whose parents are not present. It doesn't mean to be present, like physically present all the time, but your presence in your child's life is not evident. And that's what they look for.
Wow. You know, Florence, you are 100% correct, because this is what, in fact, there is that statistic, and it's connected to another one, where it shows, you know, teenagers who are lonely are very, very vulnerable to exploitation. And like Florence, you said, unfortunately, some of them they're our kids, not because they're poor or they don't have anything. It's our presence.
Or they're not in church.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's the presence. And what do we mean by presence? Is that, you know, noticing such things, you know, for example, the conversation you had, I keep coming back to that t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Any other person would have just said, okay, it's just a t-shirt, just go for it. And another person would have maybe told them off because of whatever religious. I remember, I don't know if I shared with you this, about when my own daughter went and she was looking online and she's showing me about this, what is it? You know this, what are they called? You know that, you know the one that has rabbits? It's a pornography. There used to be a pornography company. What is it called, guys?
I don't remember.
It has a rabbit something. It has a rabbit, but it's a pornography company, right? So, and she was like, maybe I'll remember it. And she was like, mommy, I really like this, you know, in school, you know, she goes to a girl, she went to a girl's school, she's just finished, and all the girls are talking about this and all that. And I'm thinking, okay, how do I deal with this?
Yeah.
She is about to pay for it because that's what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, how do I deal with this? And you don't want, especially with our teenagers, you don't want to just do a blanket no, because remember she has her own card and it's got some money and it's hers, right? So I can say you're not buying anything on here, but she has a phone. And even if I take her phone, she could buy it from her friend's phone.
Yes.
So we have to think like that. So do you know what I did? I said to her, oh, do you know what? I wish I can remember that. It's a very popular something, possibly, what is it called? Anyway, so I'm sure loads of you guys are thinking, come on, it's this, right? Anyway, what I did was I said to her, do you understand what that represents?
Yeah.
And she was like, no, mommy, it's just beautiful. It looks nice. In fact, she was looking for the one with the hoodie and all that. And to be honest, Florence, it looked nice. But it's the whole messaging of that company. So I began to say, you know, those people, this is what they have been doing over the years. I said to her how they have been taking advantage of girls. Mm-hmm. They have been using trafficked girls for sexual exploitation. Yeah. And oh my God, I wish I can remember the name. You know, it's got a rabbit on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and as I explained to her, that, by the way, I was not angry. I was not angry at all, because one of the things I have learned, like you said, be curious. not furious, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I, as we had this conversation with her, I could see her welling up, you know? I'm like,
you need to fight.
She was like, you know, I could see her getting angry about this whole concept that these people that she's about to give a bit more money to, this is what they've been doing. At the end of it, she said, I think those people should be held accountable. They should have been doing this, this. I did not tell her not to buy.
Yes.
But what I did was take her through a rational processing of thinking so that it's called a moral compass, right? Yes. Work with that so that they come to the conclusion for themselves. And when they do that, when they do that, you don't have to follow them, asking them to do or not to do something, because they have come to their own conclusion. And that is how I dealt with it. I don't even know why I told this story.
It's called empowering teenagers, because what you did was to help her see what you were seeing that she was not seeing.
Absolutely.
Right? And you did not have to fight. You did not have to assert your authority.
No, I didn't. I just spoke with her about what whatever she was asking for represents. Mm-hmm. And in her own, because again, I like what you said, Florence, about trusting our teenagers, our strengths and all that. And one thing I like to say is, let's never forget that the same spirit that lives within you is the same one that lives within your child. The same spirit that beats their heart, beats your heart, beats my heart, is the same one. And that spirit is all powerful, mm-hmm. and it's able, if we allow it, it's able to bring, you know, into remembrance what is healthy for them, what is good for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why our teenagers, they will not harm themselves when they are given the freedom to do it. The reason sometimes they do crazy stuff and harm themselves is when they are clouded and they are not thinking. But when you give them the freedom to be, human beings are very self-preservative.
Mm-hmm.
We are very, very self-preservative. And I've worked with young people who self-harm. And once I'm sure you have, Florence. Mm-hmm. Once they get to an understanding, actually, I am this important. I am this valuable. I don't have, how can I harm this that is so good?
Yes.
I can't do that, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
But we need to support them in that journey, because that awareness, it cannot come when we are constantly bombarding them, bombarding mm-hmm. them, or giving them solutions. We need to allow it to float to the top, you know? Let mm-hmm. the dream float to the top. Yeah, but that requires silence. Sometimes it requires for us to leave them alone. So mm-hmm. as we come to the end, towards the end of our session, I want you to give us a couple of tips that we as parents of teens, I know you've given us so much information, you know, and you guys, I know I'm going to be using especially this one of sabotaging, that I'm going to be practicing this week for definite, right? Can you give us at least three tips that parents can use this week to help their kids become more productive? And as you do that, please tell us where our audience can find you, because I know you've got programs for young people and you guys, as you have seen, this is not, Florence, she just doesn't talk. You know, she's talking about stuff that we can actually use and transform our lives. So tell us about, first of all, tell us where we can find you.
You can find me on Facebook at unlockedgreatness.com at the Facebook page, or you can find me just as Florence Geshohe on Facebook.
Yeah. So it's Unlocked Greatness?
Yeah, unlockedgreatness.com.
Unlockedgreatness.com.
Yeah.
Or your name, just
Florence Geshohe on Facebook. I think that's the easiest one.
Florence, so we can find Florence Ishwe. I'm going to put all of the details here. You, if you're watching on any of our platforms video, I'm going to put the links down here. If you're watching on, if you're listening on podcast, I am going to put it down there as well. But think about Florence Ishwe and contact Florence. And before we finish, Florence, please bless us with three tips that you can share with parents that they can take action on this week so that we can get some sort of transformation in our relationships with our teenagers.
Okay. Well, thank you. First and foremost, when your teenager comes to talk to you, don't diminish it. Tell them what they're saying to you makes sense to you. Be curious. If you did not understand, just ask them. I'm curious. Just start using that word. I'm curious as to why you behave this way. Can you explain it to me? Because I want to help you more. Mm-hmm. Number three, focus on their strengths. Focus on their strengths. That is when they'll become productive. They'll come to understand that they have value and they'll come to love themselves and empower themselves. So those are three.
Wow.
And talk to them, love on them.
Love on them, don't on yes. them, no matter, love like no them. Matter what, no matter what. So yes. You said when they come to, like, let's be present when they come to speak to yes. us, you know, and not diminish their, mm-hmm. whatever it is, let's be present. And also you talked about be curious. And in fact, one of the things that you have said is actually say the word, I'm curious.
Yes, I'm curious.
I'm curious about this. I'm curious. So they know, oh, mama, or my father, or my grandfather, whoever, or my auntie actually wants to listen to me.
Yeah, they're interested in what I have to say.
Yes, and yeah. that's what we want them to feel. And then let's focus on their strengths, right? Yeah. So you guys, again, thank you so much for being here today. I am so, so, so delighted. Thank you, Florence, for all the wealth of wisdom that you have shared with us. And once again, guys, please grab a hold of Florence at Florence Gishuhe, and that's on Facebook, on the social media. Or you can grab a hold of her at unlockedgreatness.com.
Yes.
Yeah, unlockedgreatness.com. And please look out for some of Florence's programs that she does. I have seen the feedback. I can't say I have used you for my own young person. I haven't, because then I would not be telling the truth if I said that. But I have seen the feedback from some of the parents and I'm like, wow, you know, and this is what's happening. And you guys, if you want your young person, your teenager to be empowered in ways that you never even thought about, yeah, I would really encourage you to seek Florence on her social media handles. That's Florence Kishohe, and also unlockedgreatness.com. That's unlockedgreatness.com. So thank you so
thank
much.
You.
All, yeah, yeah. So Florence, a little nice bye to everyone before I close.
Yes, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you for coming, and I hope you have learned something that you're going to help your teenager with and help yourself too.
Oh, thank you so much, everyone. As always, we honor you. We honor your time, investing in yourself to listen to this. This is indeed the village that we need to raise our teens. When you listen to Florence, when you listen to me, when we listen to you, we are the village that it takes to raise our young people. And so from all of us here at Raising Remarkable Teenagers, we are saying bye-bye, and we'll see you in our next session. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.